So the exploration that we're involved in this weekend is the relationship that we have to movement of the mind and stillness in the mind as an internal process, as an orientation to being able to show up in the moment in the way that we can choose non-suffering over suffering. We're equally interested in this movement and stillness as how it forms our sense of reality, our sense of what is. And we're interested in the movement and the stillness as a unity, as a wholeness of experience, so that we are opening to the full range of what the human mind is able to open to for a sense of well-being, for a sense of connecting to that which is, quote the Buddha, unborn, uncreated, unmanifest, but that connection to that larger sense of reality. All of this becomes available in either the movement or the stillness or some combination of the two. Mostly the day is going to be experiential. Sometimes when I'm here, there's a material that I'm doing a lot of verbal covering of, but this particular topic is much more experiential, so there will be less of that than usual. And it will be sitting and walking, and we will be in silence, except during lunch. And at lunch, if I guess we'll keep the hall in here silent, and then they'll have to remind me of how we do that here. I can't quite remember now, but we want to have, it's great if you can have a whole day of just silence with yourself. And silence is one form of stillness. It means that sound, that you are not creating sound, the movement of sound. Sound is always movement. It's coming in waves. And the silence is stillness. And just like when you're out in nature and you don't hear any airplanes or cars or so forth, that you just love that silence. That's because there's a stillness. And so one can just be in that kind of silence. I'm going to start us with two quotes, and then we're going to sit. The first I read last night, but actually, first of all, I have a couple questions about that. How many people were not here last night? Oh, quite a few, thank you. And how many people would self-declare yourself new or relatively new to practice? Okay, thank you. So this is from my teacher's teacher, and my teacher's name's Ajahn Sumedho, and his teacher's name was Ajahn Chah, and Ajahn Chah was probably the most renowned the Thai forest meditation master of the last century, and he lived very simply, way up in the middle of nowhere, and under very rough conditions. And my teacher lived and studied with him for 10 years. And he jokes about the fact that if the food wasn't so terrible, he would have spent more time because it was really a very poor area. And he had heard before he went there that they ate insects, and he didn't believe it. But he got there, in fact, they did eat insects and all he was saying. And, but he was really, he was, Ajahn Sumedho, who's still alive and living in Thailand right now, was so taken with Ajahn Chah that after he had finished his time and was his teacher on his own, and he went back to him, he said, "I'm yours. You do with me as you will." And not one of the considerations was that he would be sent to live in England. But in fact, Ajahn Chah sent him to live in England, and Ajahn Sumedho established a very strong Thai forest tradition of monastic groups in England. And I took that lesson to heart about be careful about do with me what you will. So this is Ajahn Chah. "Try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Be mindful, but relaxed. Just let them take their natural course. Just show up for your experience. You have your values. We call those intentions in the Eightfold Path. And you have aspirations. Aspirations come from right view. That's part of the Eightfold Path. We have a right view. We have wise view. So we have an aspiration. But we're not always going to be manifesting that aspiration. But we can almost always be moving towards it in some way. Even if the way we're moving towards it is seeing how terribly we're failing at it in this moment. That is, if we're mindful and we're staying true, we're in contact with those aspirations and that intention of the moment, we're always on the path. Try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Then your mind will become still in any surroundings, like a clear forest pool. Clear forest pool reflects. It's quiet, it's still, and therefore things can, the animals will come drink there because it's quiet and the water's clear. And when our mind is quiet and our mind is clear, all of these subtle experiences appear in the mind. Varies dramatically by person. It varies dramatically in any given time period. It varies dramatically based on your years of practice and the way you're, what tradition you're in and so forth. Try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Then your mind will become still in any surroundings like a clear forest pool. All kinds of wonderful, rare animals will come to drink at the pool, and you will clearly see the nature of all things. You will see many strange and wonderful things come and go, but you will be still. This is the happiness of the Buddha. The nature of things, this is in the Thai forest tradition, this is one of the things that are being pointed out, the nature of things, how it is. It's like this, the nature of things, so that we're not trying to impose on the nature of things. We're not trying to have a reality that's against the lawful nature of things. And it can take a long time to stop pushing and pulling at things that are not going to be responsive to pushing and pulling, but we think they are. And that's part of our misidentification with what brings happiness and doesn't bring happiness. I'm going to save the exploring. So let's do our first meditation. And those of you who were here last night, it's the arriving meditation that I've started doing in these last few years, inspired by the Venerable Ajahn Analio. He has a much longer version of this than I do. So we're arriving. We're arriving in the room, arriving in this space. We're arriving as to purpose. And we're arriving in the moment and being embodied in this moment. This is a meditation to learn for your daily life, so that when you're in a meeting, when you're in a family gathering, when you're with friends at lunch, you arrive in this wholeness, this fullness, this unity. You're there and you know what you're about and you know who you wish to be. Particularly in the workplace, people have come back to give me feedback about how useful this is. You can do it in literally, 30 seconds if that's all you've got. So we begin by arriving in the space in the room. Sound in the room. Notice that we hear. Sound arises, and we note that what is happening is hearing at the sense gate of ear. Hearing is like this. We don't have to know what's the originator of the sound, just that sound is arising and being known. So we are beginning our arrival in the moment. Feeling the space in the room, these wonderful ceilings, these wonderful, wonderful ceilings. So much dimensionality to this room. Space created by human beings is always artificial. It's constructed. Space doesn't need buildings, doors, windows, walls. But we utilize space and we create these. So we're in space, we're in this room. There are people that are sitting near us, either in front, behind, to the right, to the left. Our Sangha, our community of fellow practitioners. So here, now, in this space, in this room, with these people, this moment is like this. Do this exercise with me, not just listening. You're having your experience of this moment is like this, sitting here in this room with these people around me. And then to purpose, bringing mindfulness to the forefront. That mindfulness is our primary tool. So we connect to our intention to bring mindfulness to each moment as best we're able. As best we're able. I intend to be mindful. There may be other intentions that you would bring. I wish to be present in a mindful way. I wish to be compassionate with myself during this practice. Maybe that's not one. I intend to not listen to those voices that pull me off to do planning, which I like to do, or fantasy, which I like to do. As best I am able, in this moment, I'll stay present with the actual arising experience in the body mind and not escape. And then there's aspiration. Why are you here versus going to the movies or something for the day? There's something you seek. You don't have to know what it is exactly, but clear that there's a values-based decision, wise view, that there, your own sense of well-being is somehow available to be affected through this practice. That's your goal, your aspiration. And you will achieve it moment to moment. So you're aligning to this. You're reminding yourself. You're getting started in the right place. Here, now. Just this moment. And then moving attention to the body. Not your view and opinion about the body, but the felt sense of the body in this moment. There is a body. The body feels like this. This knowing quality is embodied locally, embodied here and now, in this very body. It is a gift to me and a responsibility that therefore can make decisions, wise or unwise. And it's so mysterious that this awareness this not just being present the way other animals, but knowing what we are experiencing, having active thought, views and responses to what we're experiencing, and then knowing that we know all this is occurring. So mysterious, so rare, so arriving in capacity of mind, arriving in capacity of heart to care. And now direct attention to the breath, aiming attention at the breath. What is attention? Attention is like the spotlight, to be able to direct knowing to an object that we choose. Yoniso manasakara, this wise attention that comes directing attention to the breath as an object that we will use as our stabilizing object, so that the mind has a place to get calm in relation to, get collected and unified. If for some reason the breath, because of breathing problems or some trauma in the past about breath, is too much, then use body sensations, the ever-changing body sensations, as your anchor object. Or you can use hearing if that works for you as an anchor object. So this is where we will come back to. It's our refuge. Following the breath in the belly, you can use the noting of arising and falling if you like. Following the breath in the chest. Or use the tip of the nostrils as your focus point, right above the upper lip, just where they open. Here, if you're going to use noting, it might be in, release, out. It's okay to move where you follow the breath, but to move it constantly is, for most of us, not so skillful. Follow it where it seems natural or where you've established a pattern that you know you get adjusted to. And then another way, a final way we'll mention of following the breath is the breath as by breath in the body as a whole experience. So you feel it as a wave in, passing through the nostrils, feeling starting in the chest or wherever it's starting for you, and just feeling it move through the whole body. It can be the breath coming up or the breath coming down into the body. In the yoga world, we used to spend many an hour arguing about that. This inhale, just now. This exhale, just now. In the early stages, it's the breath in the body because it's such a body experience. Over the course of the 2 days, the breath may become so refined as an object of meditation that you don't really feel the body anymore. It's dropped away. That's fine. But for most of us, we're starting out this way. So here in this inhale, where? In this, here, now, this leads to a sense of presence. That mindful intention together is a presence that's got purpose. It's an intentional life. When the mind wanders, just bring it back to the, rather than be interested in where it wandered to, just note the movement, that the mind moves away from an object or stays with, is still on that object. So it's the breath that we're being still with. Still in what? Stilling our attention on the breath. The breath itself is movement, but our attention is still. It's like surfing. You're still on the board as the waves move beneath you. You move, being with the breath. See if you can have less commentary. Just letting attention rest on the physical sensation of breath and body. The commentary can be in the background, just coming and going. But you're deliberately, in this retreat, cultivating from get-go a stillness of intention that is relaxed and can soften into what's... So we arrive in the room. We arrive as to purpose. We arrive in the body. We have a feeling of being present, a here and now that we can establish. Even if it's an unpleasant here and now, we can be attending to it with kindness. And then we use the breath or some object. And then for this weekend, we're interested in as much as when the mind is still on the breath or is moving towards some object or keeps moving around one object after another as we are the content. Because we're wanting to be able to develop a relationship with our movement where there's choice. The choice in the Eightfold Path, the Buddha's instructions in the Four Noble Truths, which is starting with a wise view and wise intention and goes on from there, is what's called right effort. And right effort is when we see that the mind is moving to something that we know good and well gets us in trouble, and we divert it. We advert. And if the mind has moved to a place that we know is not a good neighborhood for us, insofar as we have choice, we move it out. And we're using movement of the mind in a deliberate way that's wise to avoid suffering. If the mind's moving to something that we know from our experience is wholesome, it's getting settled or it's having an insight, then we support the movement of the mind in that direction. And if it's settled on something that's wholesome, like the breath, then we stay there in stillness. We just still the attention on it. And one way that we often interfere with stilling attention is we comment on our experience. So you can watch if, oh, well, boy, I'm staying with this breath well. I like this. Boom. Off we go, because we're commenting so much on our experience. I didn't even notice at first. I had a lot of natural concentration. But when I got to mindfulness, I didn't even notice how much I commented at first on my experience. Inside to me, like I'm commenting on it. I'm like appraising it, and then I'm making something not bad or whatever. And I learned to let loose of that commentary. And it has made a real difference in that practice, because we're interested in moving to the actual experience, not our story about it, not our views and opinions, not our interpretation. The interpretation pulls us away from the experience, and also it's so often unreliable because we have the ego's got its various agendas, and there's more than one agenda in there, because as you hopefully know, you all seem old enough to notice, there's a whole inner committee in there that has its own views and opinions about things. And sometimes one member of the committee is the one that's present and it's commenting one way, but then a little later on, there's a different member of the committee there, and it's commenting a whole other thing because it's got other interests in this. It's just the nature of mind, all of these different aspects of personality is part of that. So now we're going to do walking meditation. And in the walking meditation, ordinarily, its purpose is to balance the sitting, the energy of sitting, to bring more concentration, because we concentrate on the lower half of the body and we feel the movement, and we're feeling the movement, and we keep concentrating on that and moving the attention back to it, and it builds our concentration for the sitting practice. And then it also serves as a proximate for our daily life, because we're moving around in daily life, so we're learning to be present. The Buddha says in that the Satipatthana Sutta, awareness of the body, sitting, lying down, standing, and moving, so that we're learning to be with movement. And in today, for our purposes, when we're doing the walking practice, I'm going to ask you to utilize the noting quite a bit, not constantly if you don't want to, but quite a bit. And when each leg is moving, it can be feeling the feet move, the foot is lifting, or it can be the leg is lifting, raising, the leg's moving, whatever it is, that you're feeling it, but you're doing this little label of moving, so that you feel, you develop a felt sense of what movement is like, so that you would recognize, even in the middle of your day, when you're trying to complete a task, you feel the movement of the mind away, that it's, you don't have to be alert and notice it. It's, you've gotten so familiar with movement that you just recognize movement automatically. It's just there. Oh, this is movement. And then you'll have a wise choice. Maybe it's good that it's moving, maybe not. But if we don't notice the mind's moving, then we have no choice. We're not here and now. We're not in the present moment. Even though we may have mindfulness, it's not mindfulness of the present moment. We're kind of mindful in some vague way that's not so useful. So for those of you who are new, we pick a walking path that there could be like five people walking over there side by side. It can be as small as 6 or 8 steps or as long as 20 steps. Other people tell you more than 20 steps, but wandering if it's more than 20 steps. You stand to what's your designated place that you go walk for this walking period. And you stand there a moment. You're arriving now at this new thing. So you're arriving. You know you're arriving. So you collect yourself. Standing. There's stillness in the body. So you feel the stillness. Note that stillness. You're just standing. So it's still. The felt sense, again, we're interested in. Then our mind moves to the intention that I'm going to be present in walking, to feel movement. That's what I'm interested in this walking experience. And some of you have got quite a developed walking practice. You do it just the way you're doing it. But here, the primary interest is in the felt sense of movement. So we walk 3 speeds that's usually taught, a kind of school zone strolling, where in that instance you can mostly feel like right and left, or lift, or place. Now there's half school zone speed walking, where there you've got enough time and the movement's slow enough that you can do a lifting, placing, or so forth. And it can be the hip, the legs, the upper legs, the knees, the lower legs, the ankles, the feet, just whatever you is natural for you. And then there's a slower speed of walking, that kind of zombie-looking walking that we do, and the reason we walk that slow is because you can feel, you've got time to feel more moments of movement in each leg. So it can be lifting, moving, placing, lifting, moving, placing. It gets more and more complicated. There's a 5-part walking practice that I learned by this monastic came through when I was sitting in IMS 1 year, the 6-week retreat, and he came through, and these people from the various Asian countries will come through, and then they're shown them all of IMS, the Insight Meditation Society, for those of you who don't know. And he was clearly not interested in seeing buildings. So everybody else was sitting in the hall, but I was doing walking practice because I had a yogi job that never ended. So I was often in the kitchen area, and I was doing my walking in the dining room. And he came walking through, and they all left. And I thought he had left too, but then suddenly he's there walking right by me. And so we're walking, and I go, he's doing something different than me. What is that? And I couldn't figure it out mentally. But I said, okay, I'm just going to become one with his walking. and he was doing a five-part walking. And it was very distinct, and we never said a word. He must have walked with me for, I don't know, 15 minutes. It's a great gift, a great, great gift of that. And it increased my interest in walking. And if my mind is still enough, I can do that style walking. But if my mind is jumpy, the three-part walking is about all I can do. It is not necessarily better to walk slow. If we're going to use that more skillful, less skillful, walking in a way that you can stay present, walking a speed you can stay present for, that is what I have found to be skillful. So if your mind is really settled, walking slow makes sense. But, you know, if you're just here and you're not sure about this, there's no rush to walk slow. And you can start out at one speed and change it again, if depending on, like, if the mind's getting settled or gets agitated. So you're being in harmony, mind, body in harmony. So this walking practice is where we notice movement. When you get to the end of your 6, 10, 12, 14, 20 steps, stand. So you're stopped now. Stillness is there. Note the stillness. Turning is movement. So you're again, the felt sense of turning. Movement feels like this. And again, they're standing for a moment. When you recommit to that, you're going to be present in those steps. It takes that recommitment, because otherwise we'll space out while we're walking. And then we're the moving. And once you really accept that you're not going anywhere, then why not show up, you know? It takes a while to do that, but it's actually quite relieving to be doing moving without having to have purpose of getting somewhere, accomplishing something. It can really calm the mind. In fact, I tell people that in your home practice, if you have trouble getting started on your home practice, do 2 or 3 minutes of walking, no more than that first. And the mind thinks you're going somewhere, so it thinks it's going to get some new stimulation. And so it kind of goes along with you. Whereas if it knows you're going to sit, it goes, no, let's go have coffee. Oh, I just got to check my email first. But if it thinks you're going to take it somewhere to have some new stimulation, it kind of goes along. And then when you plop yourself down in the chair or cushion, it's too late. And so this kind of play with all of this is useful. So we'll walk for, 25 minutes, and you can have your bathroom breaks in between there so that there doesn't have to be a line in any way. And then the bell will be rung. So by the time we get started and we do the walking, yeah, so 25 minutes roughly of walking, and the bell would ring in about 25 minutes from now, bell ringer.